From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Poetry and pandemics may not be synonymous with one another, but in times of crisis, art plays an outsized role. Now, a new initiative that engages working people, including those considered essential workers, to express their frustrations and give voice to their hopes and desires has been gaining traction. A project called Hashtag Coronavirus Haiku by the Worker Writers School has become popular with domestic workers, street vendors, taxi drivers, migrant workers, and more. My guest is Mark Nowak. He is the founding director of the Worker Writers School and author of the new book, Social Poetics. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about this coronavirus haiku project. And actually, even before we start that, there are probably people among the audience who are not sure what a haiku is. Explain that form of poetry.
Sure. It's a Japanese form of poem, three lines long, that has a syllable count of 5, 7, 5 in each of the lines. And we at the Worker Writer School started out all the way back in September looking at the haiku. We've looked at kind of a more radical tradition of the haiku, haiku written at Japanese American internment camps after World War II, written by prisoners in the Attica Rebellion, written by poets like Amiri Baraka and Sonia Sanchez. So that's how we've kind of been looking at and talking about the form.
So this is a project that began before the pandemic. Tell me about what form it took at that time, and also tell me about the Worker Writer School.
Sure. So the Worker Writer School has been operating in about 10 years ago. I founded it in New York City in collaboration with PEN America, the Writers and Human Rights Organization. And we have members from about 5 or 6 different worker centers around New York City, Domestic Workers United, the New York Taxi Workers Alliance, and other groups. And we meet once a month at PEN and write poems. And then do readings and performances around the city. We've been studying really closely the haiku form this year, and on March 7th, which was our last workshop when we met together, it became a little different because instead of normally meeting with handshakes and hugs, I waited at the door with a bottle of hand sanitizer and we elbow bumped because the word about the coronavirus was just starting to spread around the city. People were talking about it. So I decided in workshop that day that we would all write a haiku about how the coronavirus was beginning to affect our lives. And since then, members of the school have continued writing them, nannies, taxi drivers, street vendors, people who work for the MTA subway system, and they send them to me, and we've been publishing them on our Instagram page, on our Twitter, Worker Writers Twitter page, and elsewhere in magazines. Some have been coming out as well.
How important is art of any kind, but including poetry, to worker movements? We tend to not associate the two together. We tend to think that, well, a migrant worker isn't going to have time for poetry, or a street vendor has more important things to worry about than writing haikus.
Yeah, well, one of the things I talk about in my book, Social Poetics, is I do take Howard Zinn's idea of a people's history and do a people's history of the poetry workshop. And so these aren't poems that typically you would find in anthologies in your college classrooms, but there's actually a really long history of workers in the United States and around the world turning to the writing of poetry as a way to analyze and think about and create art around their working lives, their day-to-day lives. And so at the Worker Writer School, we've actually seen more interest in writing since the coronavirus has swept New York City, swept across New York City. So we used to meet once a month, for example. We're now meeting twice a month. I have people who are workers in the city who, you know, send me 10, 15 haiku they may have written in the past week. I think writing is a way to like process our lives and to think about them and analyze them, and the haiku in particular, to try to condense what's happened to us, you know, maybe that day working at the MTA subway booth, things that have happened to us, and condense it down into just three lines and to try to summarize what's been happening in our lives at this important moment.
Right, we've been hearing a lot about the importance of journaling. Journaling can be time-consuming. A haiku can be pretty quick. And that expression that we, you know, may have the need for during a time like this can also be cathartic, but it can also be a way of organizing, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things that we're seeing is we started the project with the workers in New York, and then we organizer for the one of the unions in Seattle reached out to us, and he was like, well, we've got some workers in healthcare and grocery stores and other restaurants who are interested in doing this. So the workers from Seattle started sending the poems. I've seen other people on social media now, like, starting to post haiku about their jobs and their working lives. And, you know, we've had a lot of the poets in our workshops actually in the past be at protests that their unions or worker centers have been organizing. One of the ones I talk about in the book is there was a protest at City Hall by the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. And they were protesting the lack of the government's capping of how many Uber and Lyft and other kind of drivers could be in the city. And we got a call from them asking for one of the poets from the Taxi Workers Alliance to come read his poems at the protest. So I think there's a lot of ways in which the work that we're trying to do engages us individually in terms of, like, writing about our day, but organizes us collectively to be able to try to tell the story of all the workers in these jobs, these frontline jobs that have become so important now.
Have you seen a lot of rage in the haikus that you're getting?
There is rage. You know, people are upset about a lot of things. Certainly, one that comes to mind in particular was about the lack of any kind of justice in the prison system here in New York City, the lack of cleaning and treating prisoners humanely. I think there's a lot of anger around, you know, isolation. Isolation is hard when you're used to living a very social life, and now you have to social distance from your friends, your coworkers, everybody. And so there is some of that in there, and there's a lot of peaceful recollection as well, you know, like trying to interpret what does it mean as here in the North, winter turns to spring, and yet we are not going outside, we can't go to work, you know, we don't go on the subways, but yet the trees are starting to blossom. And so how do we interpret that? Because it's a very different moment than it's ever been before in our lives.
And just a later in our conversation, we're going to be speaking with Christine Yvette Lewis with the Domestic Workers United to get her perspective on this project as well. But in terms of, you know, the workers that are struggling during this time, broadly speaking, we have low wage workers across the board, right? And then we've got those workers who are essential workers or being considered or told by the government that they're essential workers that are often just a subset of the low-wage workers. I imagine that the grocery workers and nurses, those so-called essential workers, they're not necessarily getting paid very much more, if at all, but are still expected to show up to work and risk their lives and may or may not have adequate health care. Their haikus, I don't know, might be different from others.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I think they're incredibly dedicated, particularly the healthcare workers. But there's also a sense that, like, these things that we have been asking for a very long time, I'm thinking of, like, the Fight for 15 campaign, hazard pay for workers in dangerous situations, access to healthcare for everybody, living wage campaigns, like, all of these things had been talked about for a very long time as, like, something we couldn't reach that wasn't within our grasp. And I think, if anything, what this moment is hopefully showing us is that, in fact, these people who we have said are working jobs that anybody could do, I'm thinking of farm workers, for example, in my own community, that these are literally people who are saving our lives right now, who are providing us food, who are treating our elderly parents and taking care of them. We have elder care workers in the Worker Writers School. Like, their jobs have literally, in the past 6 weeks, become the most important positions in the world. And people need to be compensated for doing this work. And maybe when this is over with, everybody will see that a little bit more clearly.
So the haikus, are they all being posted online on social media platforms or just a subset of them? There's a hashtag coronavirus haiku. Is that how people can find them?
Yeah, or they can come to the Worker Writer School Instagram page or Twitter page. We're putting them out regularly. And when other places are publishing them, we're putting links to those up as well. So you can see almost daily new haiku, coronavirus haikus by the workers.
Can you give us a taste of some of the haikus? Maybe read a couple for our audience?
Sure. These three are from a domestic worker in Brooklyn named Lorraine Garnett. And in fact, I just posted them today. The first one is cheaper, Beijing made. Reagents in Mexico, cotton swabs, come home. The next one, 10 days brick labor, lumbar, pothole stabbing pain, paycheck, bounce, bounce twice. And especially I was thinking about this one because there's, people are starting to talk about reopening the economy. And so this one I felt like really spoke to that. And again, it's by Lorraine Garnett in Brooklyn. Enlist, forced open, frontline, return to action, hair, nail, ball, riots.
And so these are some of the haikus as part of the Coronavirus Haiku Project that engages workers to express themselves through this particular poetry form that's online. And just to remind, as we started our conversation, it's basically a rhythm of 5-7-5, a three-line piece of poetry. That's the standard format, right? Something that
Yes.
kids tend to learn these days in school how to write.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly.
Do you encourage people around the country, even if they're not necessarily part of the project, to express themselves through haiku during this pandemic?
Absolutely, and they should tag us and let us know as well. We'd love to see what other people are doing around the country, and particularly from workers around the country. We would love to know about.
Can people start their own projects in their own locality? I believe you're in the New York area, which of course is the hardest hit area in the country. But all around it, it's a very big country, and I imagine that this is the kind of project that can take hold. And it's also conducive to a form of digital engagement that does not require in-person meeting, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so I would encourage workers all over to start writing. I think it's a great way to process what's happening in our working lives. And we at the Worker Writer School would love to know about it so that we can share them with the workers in New York City as well.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Mark Nowak. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Mark Nowak, founding director of the Worker Writers School. He's the author of the new book, Social Poetics. We turn now to Christine Yvette Lewis, Secretary Cultural Coordinator with Domestic Workers United, who's also participating in the Coronavirus Haiku Project. Welcome to the program, Christine.
Thank you, Sonali.
So, Mark Nowak just explained to us a little bit about the Coronavirus Haiku Project. Tell me your role in it.
So, I am the secretary of Domestic Workers United in New York City. And Mark approached us about 10 years ago, the movement, to write, to be able to tell our stories. And so we came on board just before, I think it was just after the Bill of Rights in New York City. Domestic workers had won the Bill of Rights, given some protection to nannies, elder caregivers, and housekeepers in New York City. And being the first state, it had set a precedent for other states to go after their Bill of Rights and win their Bill of Rights as well. But Septima Clark talked about literacy. Literacy is liberation. And it was a good way to give workers who might not have thought that they could write to be able to tell their stories when they couldn't, especially in an industry where workers were extremely exploited. I mean, the pen is your friend. So folks could actually tell their stories, whether it's the medium of poetry or fiction or short stories. And this is where DW got involved, which is Domestic Workers United. And we've stayed the course ever since. We're still on board with the Writers Program.
Why is it important to have such an outlet, such an artistic outlet for a group of workers that is on the, you know, that are among the low wage working class of America? Why is this an important aspect of organizing?
Well, to give a face to it as well, I mean, as we see with the coronavirus, who is really in demand right now? The very said low wage workers, right? And storytelling is important. You know, the Puerto Rican writer said that our stories are our medicines. And being able to tell these stories one to the next gives hope, you know. And then it also sounds the alarm, too, to folks out there who really aren't doing well by their employees. They get the message, right? It's sounded here and abroad. But storytelling is important. It heals, it provokes, and it changes as well. So,
members of Domestic Workers United finding a new passion for poetry through this project?
Oh, certainly. You know, I'm almost like the one who recruits. I bring in not just, it's funny because I bring in not just domestic workers. I bring in, so the public theater does community acting with community groups across the five boroughs in New York. And I'm able to recruit from even the actors, folks who want to write to be able to tell their stories. So yes, it really is important, you know, not just for us too, but those who work in other genres too, to come on board with the class. Yes.
What has it been like for domestic workers in New York City in particular today? This is not just the epicenter of the state. It's the epicenter of the nation and arguably the epicenter of the world today when it comes to the number of coronavirus cases.
Well, that's an interesting question. I say to folks, don't go to work. They're needed. They're two parents in a home and the child. It's really unsafe, especially now. As you rightfully said, that New York City is the epicenter of coronavirus. Yeah, not to go. I can't tell folks, I could say to them, don't go to work, and know that DWU has a safety net in place in terms of, like right now, DWU is raising money for at least 75 women in our local network to be able to give them what we call a love offering. Right now we're doing that online, right?
So sort of like a universal basic income?
Yeah, you know, a small stipend, nothing, you know, for folks to enable them to buy groceries, medicine, and pay a bill or two. You know, nothing huge, but at least it begins with us being able to help those folks who, you know, have lost wages due to coronavirus, can go. I mean, and also it's a conscionable thing with employers to be able to pay. I mean, they have nothing to lose but to pay and maintain their employees until, you know, this passes over. And let's hope that it happens soon. But we're able to do that, you know, as lowly as we are, being able to raise funds to help our folks in our local network.
So domestic workers, I imagine, have been impacted pretty deeply by the coronavirus pandemic, as being a domestic worker often involves having to go into someone's home. And of course, this is not conducive to social distancing. Have people lost jobs pretty severely?
You know, I can't speak to how many folks have lost jobs, but I know it's such a ticklish subject in that you don't want to tell, as I said before, you don't want to tell folks don't go to work. And yeah, you know, I literally say that we work in a 2x4 with employers,
right,
and their children, depending on how many kids we take care of.
Right. The homes are pretty small in New York City for those of us in, you know, elsewhere. Yeah. I'm in California, but I've seen most typical New York homes. Yeah.
Right. But you're hoping that, and I know that there are folks who haven't been to work and have received pay. I've heard those stories. There are folks who aren't sure what's going to happen. Yeah. Even when this blew over, because what we, you know, in my consensus is that folks are learning to work from home. This COVID virus has provoked so many different things. Folks are learning to work from home, and now they might stay home to take care of their children. You know, we don't know what this will spark, what, you know, the end result of coronavirus. We don't know. Yeah.
Have you seen a change in the topic of coronavirus, of the haikus that workers are writing after the pandemic hit? I imagine that they're mostly focused on the virus and the pandemic right now.
So I have written haikus that's not primarily, I mean, the coronavirus and other things that I observed. I work in a tongue in Great Neck. And, you know, I saw Latino women, Latin women coming to work. I stand on the perimeters of the tongue and I looked in at the workers and I'm saying, my gosh, what is happening in Great Neck? And those women aren't, they're day laborers. They go into the town hoping that somebody will pick them up to work. And so just observing the landscape of that sort of encouraged me to write, because I was wondering what was going on. What's going on in this town? And by the way, I'm going in to take care of a little boy too. But I'm wondering, why are these women congregating by the railroad? What's happening? And then I got into talking to them, and you know, they said some were selling stuff out of their bags. They were, you know, doing the little market gig at the side, but they were waiting for somebody to pick them up. And I was just enthralled, you know, about that scenario. And I had written some haikus around that.
Can you share some of those with us?
Well, certainly.
And just to remind my audience, I'm speaking with Christine Yvette Lewis. She is the Secretary Cultural Coordinator with Domestic Workers United. And we're talking about the Coronavirus Haiku Project. Go ahead, Christine.
Yes. So this first one, you know, was just an observation. Bangladeshi men deliver tacos, bitter days, Upper East Side. I'd read it again. Bangladeshi men deliver tacos, bitter days, Upper East Side. Brittle leaves fall, cold bench, day laborers, women a long way from home. Brittle leaves fall, cold bench, day laborers, women a long way from home.
And so if you're just tuning in, that's a haiku reading by my guest, Christine Yvette Lewis with Domestic Workers United. Christine, unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to the Instagram and Twitter page for the Worker Writers School, which is organizing this coronavirus haiku project. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you.
My guest has been Christine Yvette Lewis. She is the Secretary Cultural Coordinator at the Domestic Workers United. We've been discussing the Coronavirus Haiku Project. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.